Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, admit your mistakes. Here we go. You've often said that your second book is going to be called The Candid Manager.
And yep.
Yeah, for a good reason, right? The lack of candor in the workplace only becomes obvious to professionals when they work in one of the rare places, and usually it's a tight-knit team somewhere, where candor rules, and it is refreshing. But most of us don't live in an environment like that, and there are ways to increase candor.
Yeah, I've always felt that candor was an unappreciated part of highly effective professionals, particularly highly effective teams, interactions. We like to say that in the workplace, professional love is the willingness to risk yourself professionally for the benefit of somebody else. In other words, somebody else is going to be benefiting, but you're taking a risk. When it comes to communication, the way to express love is candor. And candor is being willing to speak truth, even when there may be a risk. In other words, you may be cautioned about it, or you may be in trouble, or there may be retribution, or there may be organizational shaming for speaking the truth. I think the loose version of this in the modern world is speaking truth to power, but I actually find that speaking truth to power a little bit politicized, and I think speaking truth with risk is a broader definition of candor. And so one of the things we're going to do in the next couple of years is put out some casts about how to increase candor on your team.
Right. Folks, the way to start off and increase candor is not to go around and being candid with everybody and telling them how screwed up they are. I'm just being candid. Okay.
Candidly. Yeah, candidly.
Yeah. We recommend the first place to start is talk about your own mistakes, and particularly if you're a leader, right? You can set the example.
Yeah, exactly. On a small scale, you can set the example. And folks, that's why we call this manager tools. It's not organizational tools. It's not direct tools. It's not everybody tools. It's manager tools. And when we see organizations, we see an organization as a series of managers linked to their directs. And so we believe that while we may not be able to fix your organization, we believe with the right behaviors, you can create a highly effective work team, a highly effective miniature organization within the larger organization you're a part of. So, point one, admit your errors publicly. Point two, do so in meetings and face-to-face, but don't do it in email, guys. No sense in creating a record of your mistakes. Emails have a habit of being forwarded, and we're talking about you and your team. And then by extension, once you don't put it in email, by definition, we need to say, rarely would you be totally candid and admit your mistakes with your boss and your peers as a matter of doing so freely to increase candor, because it won't increase candor with your peers or with your boss in all situations, but it will with your directs.
We're telling folks, like, you can help with creating candor in your environment by admitting your mistakes. But we're also realists here, right? We live in the real world, and we're not going to advise you to do so in a way that is going to negatively impact, or has a high probability of negatively impacting you with your boss or with your career. So,
yeah. I mean, what's one of, you know, how many casts do we have about managing your boss? Just one, which says don't do it.
Right?
Tell your boss the truth and the truth will set you free. Yeah. We're not realists. We've just had our butts handed to us a few times because we did things that our bosses didn't like. And we learned that bosses have power and one must respect the power.
The power can hurt.
It would be nice if everybody behaved perfectly, but if everybody behaved perfectly, there wouldn't be manager tools.
There you go. Okay. So point one, admit your mistakes. And 90% of the time, it's pretty easy because 90% of the time, your directs know you made a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for whatever reason, your plan wasn't right. The mail you sent ticked somebody off. Your commitment to finish something by Sunday night didn't get done. Your promise to get the tech guys to support an unusual request didn't get fulfilled. The denied budget exception from your boss. Whatever the case might be, you didn't do what you were supposed to do, whether you promised it or whether it was a deliverable, it doesn't matter. Look, just admit it. You can do it for decisions. Folks, I was wrong about being able to get more budget, so I'm going back to the drawing board on our plan. For processes that you created or helped create that aren't working. Hey, team, I've created a huge bottleneck in processing service requests. with the new data entry I've asked for. I'd love ideas on how to fix it. If you have an idea that didn't work, you'd say, my idea to change vendors was dumb. We need to see if the original group will take us back. Dude, just admit it. You can do this for virtually any decision or action that you took that you can publicly communicate about, obviously. I mean, you wouldn't mention a difficult annual review that you had with one of your directs, the entire team that you handled poorly. Don't do that. Just admit it. With your team, the focus is on you and your team.
Now, let me ask you a question, though, because I know a lot of folks are going to give us some pushback on this because they're going to see some aspects of this particular recommendation that are going to concern them a little bit. And the first of all is folks are going to characterize this as an apology. And
yeah.
Are you, in fact, apologizing in this case?
Well, you know, this reminds me of Wendy and I just had a discussion the other day about the word intimidating. I think I put this in things I think recently that people use the phrase you're intimidating as a way of deflecting the fact that they feel intimidated. So therefore it's your fault. And of course, as we know, all of us manager tools and career tools people know how you feel is your fault. It's nobody else's fault. They just poked you with an umbrella. You got mad all by yourself. So yeah, other people may characterize this as an apology, but just because they characterize it as an apology proves A, they don't know what they're talking about because an apology is a very specific thing. And this is not that. And B, they're not listening very well. Although it also proves, I guess, C, that communication is what the listener does. Look, it's not an apology because it doesn't meet the standards of an apology on virtually any level. The fact that you might be regretful doesn't make communication that includes that regret an apology. And look, guys, for the record, I've done this many, many, many times. I've admitted it. Mike can attest to this. Look, guys, I was wrong about that. I mean, we did a thing recently where we opened up two conferences and we did it specifically because one of our clients had locations in those sites. And they're not sites that our Google Analytics or our listener base were asking for. We opened them up. I said, I think we should do it. I think it's a good way to service this client. And we had nobody sign up. And so for the first time ever in my life ever, I closed a conference. We opened it. Nobody signed up and we closed it. Actually, one person did sign up and we offered to pay their airfare. And I think we offered to pay their attendance completely at another conference.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And so I apologized. I said, look, guys, I was wrong. I thought these two locations would be great. For those of you who like inside baseball, they were Memphis and Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh actually got an extra nod because Primanti Brothers is in Pittsburgh.
Well, the fact is, you didn't apologize. You just admitted that you made a mistake.
Yeah,
right?
I just admitted it. Yeah.
Right.
I said, look, guys, you know, I was wrong. I thought we would get traction, and we didn't. And people say so, and they say, oh, yeah, Mark apologized. And my mistake often in these situations go, actually, no, dude, I didn't apologize. And that completely confuses people.
And people don't like
it. Well, I thought you just said you admitted a mistake. Yeah. Well, that's an apology. No, it's not. Really, it's not. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry, dude. But that at that point, you know what? Don't bother. And guys, this isn't to say that an apology would be wrong. Okay? We're just not recommending you go around apologizing every time you make a mistake. Unless you want your directs groveling every time. And by the way, there are directs who work for you. High C's would be a good example. Who generally are logical and rational. And they won't apologize. But they will admit they were wrong. And in fact, admitting they were wrong is hard enough. So apologizing is unnecessary for a high C, in my opinion.
Right. If there's adverse impacts to others, right? You inconvenience somebody or there's been adverse impacts.
That's different. Okay, that's different. Yeah. What you're saying there is now I'm apologizing for what my mistake caused. But what we're talking about here is admitting the mistake. Look, we already have a cast on apologizing, right? If that's the case, if my mistake caused a bunch of extra work, then I need to admit my mistake and I need to apologize in addition to publicly admitting my mistake in order to increase the candor and the willingness of my team to admit their mistakes.
There you go.
Yeah.
But they're two separate, distinct things.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Good.
Now, the second thing, I guess, concern folks have, and I've seen this a number of times, people say, well, we.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Can I just kill somebody? Can I just have a pass just once and just kill somebody who says that? We? Yeah, we made a mistake on that one, guys.
And your directs are looking at you going like, really?
Really? Let me just tell you something, Mr. or Ms. Manager. When you say we, you ain't the king. We are not amused is a joke. Okay. You're not. Oh my, honey swaki molly paws. I'm amazed. Well, guys, we took a hit on this one. Yeah. The only reason that's right is we're all taking a hit because you blew it, boss.
Right.
Bear Bryant, the famous Alabama football coach who once broke his leg when he slipped while he was walking his ducks out on the lake. I think when he was at A&M, when he was coaching at A&M before his great run at Alabama, Bear Bryant used to coach his kids at Junction, Texas, which is not far from me. And there's actually a great book and I believe a documentary or a TV show called The Junction Boys, may have been a movie. And he was really brutally hard on them. This is back when they denied them water and all kinds of things. But he was also famous for a phrase, which is, if it went wrong, it was my fault. If it was okay, we all contributed. And if it was great, you did it. And I think too many managers think that the definition of team is we all share everything. And that's fine. But you've got to understand that being a leader of a team is different than being a member of a team. And what leaders do, as opposed to managers, is leaders admit, I did this wrong, or I failed. And look, even if your team does it wrong, you could even say, I failed to give you good guidance here. And they can draw the conclusion that your lack of guidance is what caused them to make their mistake. But too often, we've got managers walking around saying, we, and it's not effective, guys. It's not. It's okay at the start of something. We need to rally around here. We need to get a bunch of stuff done. Fine. But when you're talking about mistakes, if you're talking publicly about mistakes, they ought to be only yours. Privately about mistakes, you can say you did X and that wasn't good. But publicly, it's got to be I. If you made the error, you say I. You don't say we. If when you made a mistake, you use the word we, and when your directs make a mistake, they say I made a mistake, then it comes across that you're never making mistakes yourself, which defeats the whole purpose of this.
Right.
And the whole point of doing this is to encourage your directs. We're setting an example. We're leading by example. We're encouraging our directs to be more candid about their mistakes. Guys, admit it. You don't know everything that's going on amongst your directs. And you definitely have no idea about the mistakes they're making. We talk at our conferences about the mistake managers make about just doing punishment and praise. And it's a revelation to a lot of managers that when you punish your directs, what they do won't necessarily be the right thing the next time. What punishment causes is the avoidance of future punishment. And if somebody's tied to the behavior they engaged in that got them in trouble, they will simply do that again and then cover up the behavior so you can't punish them. The only way people are going to start opening up about their mistakes is if you do so first and you set a culture, and culture is nothing more than the aggregated behaviors within the organization you're talking about, in this case, you and your team, establish a culture which says, I, and therefore by extension in the long run, as I teach you, I admit, and therefore by extension, we admit our mistakes. And look, guys, I admit it about me. I hope you admit it about you. I know Mike does about him. We're all probably subtly unaware of our own tendency to, if not hide, then to underreport our own mistakes.
Yep.
So admit it. Stand up in front of your folks and admit it. And yeah, there's going to be one or two folks on your team that get snarky about it. Nobody gives a hoot about them anyway. Nobody likes them. The really smart guy who probably also is a smart you-know-what. That'll never work. Yeah, we tried that 23 years ago, and that didn't work. Yeah, nobody likes that guy anyway. Okay? So when he gets snarky with you, what you want to look for is your top two or three performers. And I'm not talking about just in terms of metrics. I'm talking about whether or not they're a total team player. If they appreciate it, if the people who you think of as future leaders and managers appreciate it, you're heading in the right direction.
Exactly. Now, we talked about earlier, right, admitting your mistakes. I mean, there's some risk involved if you're doing it with...
Yeah. Well, it depends on how many mistakes you have.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, in my case, I got a few. So we're suggesting here, folks, just to be clear, that you do this in meetings or you do that face-to-face with your folks. We're not talking about taking all your mistakes, sin you've ever created,
and
putting it on email so it can be shared across the entire organization.
Yeah, we just shared, for those of you who are licensees, you recently got a things I think from me. It may have been in the last few weeks, about one of the worst emails I've ever seen, which I got firsthand from one of the recipients, from a manager. And, you know, because it was an email, but wasn't the tirade that was verbal, it wasn't a rant on a Friday afternoon. That email is going to keep on giving gifts to other managers for years, so that anytime you write a bad email, guys, just remember, it won't be as bad as the one I sent to you guys, licensees, and things I think. I think it was some PhD who was writing about how the toothpicks have to go in a certain way in the beaker, and you have to fold the foil a certain way. And I think he said there will be a major witch hunt if really a major witch hunt. Wow.
Yeah. I remember the person who shared this with us, and this person's description and the sound in this person's voice as they were describing. And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Email is forever. In fact, I've been meaning to put in things I think. And I'm sorry, for those of you who aren't licensees, every week I send out a note to the several thousand licensees that we have. It's a weekly note of things that are probably not going to make it into a podcast. You know, a small idea, a small thought, a suggestion that really isn't fulsome enough or full enough on its own to be a podcast. And I didn't have any outlet of that before we started doing things, I think. So it goes out every week. And I think it's pretty popular. Right?
It's very people. I really love it. Yeah, they love it.
And so that went out in a recent things, I think. And one of the things I'm getting ready to write in things, I think, is a story in, I want to say it's Fortune, but it might have been Wall Street Journal, about, I think it was a book review. And one of the bits in the book review about Wall Street collapse was one broker sending by email in all caps to another broker something that said, "Tell no one." It reminds me of my favorite painting, the one that's a picture of a pipe, a smoking pipe. And the title of the painting is "This Is Not a Pipe." The idea that you would send an email with the phrase "tell no one." Like, yeah, no, really. By definition, when you're sending out an email, you're telling everyone. It's just that way. So, yeah, you don't do it in email. If you admit a mistake in front of the entire team, that's the best possible opportunity to set the example of openness that you want, and to encourage the kind of openness, especially. And look, openness really matters when it hurts, right? My dad told me once that the definition of etiquette is whether or not you follow it when no one is looking. When your whole team hears you say the professional thing rather than avoiding a subject, or hears you take responsibility when you could have avoided it or just stayed quiet, they're going to talk about it as a group later. That kind of reinforcing behavior is what we'd tell you to do if you were leading a change effort, which is, of course, is what this is when you start engaging in behaviors designed to set an example. And admitting it individually, privately with one of your team, sends them a very clear message about the kind of person you want them to be, right? But again, our experience suggests that it's best not to leave a record of your admission. And email is, if nothing else, a record of everything. We love to tell you that the candid manager can infect a company with similar honesty, but that's just not the way it works. Okay, we're not suggesting you hide your mistakes. Punishment can cause that, I guess. But there's a big difference between admitting mistakes and making a record of them for the future. Don't do it.
Yeah. And so along those lines, we're also suggesting that you rarely want to do this with your bosses or peers of yours.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, boss, this is my weekly mess up note. I made seven mistakes this week. I'm sending this by email. Here are all my mistakes.
Because all your peers are doing that, obviously.
I mean, yeah, of course they are. They're totally candid with their boss, and you just want to be in an equal playing. You want to fit right in and be in an equal playing field with them. I got to tell you, if I had a guy do that with me, I'd have 52 weeks worth of email printed out for his annual review. Did you know you made 284 mistakes this year? I'm sorry. I'm going to have to use you as a way to make everybody else get more money.
Actually, we recommend you don't actually have that conversation with your boss. What we recommend you do is actually combine points 2 and 3 and put it in an email. If you put it in an email, 2 negative, make a positive.
Tell your boss the truth in an email and have it set you free in public. Look, if you make a mistake, we're not recommending you cover it up. We're not recommending you fail to admit it when the truth is called for. And frankly, if you were on the other end of the communication, if someone else had made a mistake And you would want to know, if you were on the receiving end, if someone owned the error, because that would help you fix it or try, or you would be able to avoid trying to find the cause. Then by all means, be candid about whatever mistake you made or whatever miss you caused. But total candor with peers with whom you may not have, let's say, an enviable professional relationship, just isn't something we can recommend yet. The world's not perfect. We're realists, as Mike said. It's noble, and we'll pat you on the back for it, but we may also scold you, end up having to scold you, if you will, for the political danger that's going to end up being self-inflicted. And yet, look, you owe your boss honesty, but you don't owe your boss total openness. If for no other reason, then he sets the example or she sets the example and they ain't giving you total openness. If you trust that she'll respond to candor with professionalism the way you would with your team, because you're setting the example now with your team, then do so. Be candid. But if you have a relationship with your boss, like so many of us do, discretion is the better part of candor.
There you go. And that's it, right?
Yeah. Admit it publicly, not in writing. And be careful about doing it with your boss. Look, guys, if you want more candor, you have to take the lead as a manager. Candor shrinks as fear increases. Your guys know you made a mistake. You know you did. The benefit is communicating about it. Your directs will follow suit. They'll do so slowly, but they will follow suit. That's it.
All right, dude. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, partner.
We'll see you, man. Bye. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Until then, check out the discussion forums, www.manager-tools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. See ya.